On this day, we have in this Thursday of this third week of Lent, something very curious, but at the same time, there is an explanation. Everything has an explanation if you look for it. The collect of today's Mass, if you were listening or following or paying attention, speaks about the feast, the solemnity of Saints Cosmas and Damian. Now, the solemnity of Saints Cosmas and Damian is at the end of September. So why do they use that? The reason being that every day of Lent, there is a station or a stational church where, in the old days, the Pope, with all kinds of processions on horseback and camelback and everything you can imagine, really fantastic, would go from the Lateran Basilica, which was the home of the Pope, not St. Peter's. St. Peter's was his private chapel over the bones of St. Peter. But the Cathedral of Rome is St. John at the Lateran. And they would go to whatever church of the station was that day. It was assigned. When and where or by whom, who knows? Perhaps just by tradition, sometimes by a certain pope or other. But anyway, today was the day that was reserved for Saints Cosmas and Damian Basilica, which is on the Roman Forum, where the bones of Saints Cosmas and Damian, the two doctors who were siblings and who healed many and then were finally put to death, are buried and venerated. And so there is always an explanation for something, though it is not their feast, but it's good to remember them again. On the other hand, the gospel today could not be any more appropriate because some of these subjects came up last night at the theology class. And apparently someone has been speaking about rethinking celibacy or some nonsense like that. You know, they've been doing that at least since 1965. And it's still with us. And if they want to get rid of the very few priests that they have and very few seminarians that they have, then let them do away with celibacy. It will destroy it. And then, good, we can get on with the business of the church. But there are those who have various opinions. And I was looking up some of the historical facts. Yes, in the very beginning, obviously, priests, not all priests, some priests, and all the bishops, that is part of the rule. Even the Orthodox have that rule. All the bishops are monks because they are not married. And only if you're celibate, and usually a monk, can you be made a bishop. But in the 4th century, in Spain, and a lot of good things come from Spain, we know that, at the Council of Elvira was the first time in the West that celibacy was mandated. But Elvira was in Spain. Communication was slow. And even at the time of the great emperor, Saint Charlemagne, and his great liturgist, Blessed Alcuin, there were some priests and deacons and subdeacons who were married. But however, as I mentioned in class last night, you could not, let's say you were widowed, you could not marry again. If you were married before you were ordained, then that was okay. Now, most of these people, they lived in a celibate lifestyle even before. In the East, there were also councils in Egypt. And one of my good friends in Rome in the seminary wrote a beautiful book about it, which I have never been able to get my hands on. And it was a very favorite of St. John Paul's, asserting the fact that the East had celibacy even before the West. And so the fact that it's up in the air or not so. It's not infallible, it's not doctrine, it is practice, and it is custom. And that does not mean that it is any less, nor that we should get rid of it. It is the crowning jewel of the priesthood, as have said many saints, and quoted by St. Paul VI in his wonderful encyclical on priestly celibacy, Sacerdotalis Celibatu of 1967, which I have read in Latin, in English, and in Spanish. Celibacy is most important for the priesthood. And of course, if there were no celibacy for the priesthood, then I will really be in bad shape. Because I thank God for celibacy every day, especially when I see marital problems among people. And there are many. It is not paradise. Then the other thing here is that our Lord healed the sick. And some people, mistakenly, and they use terminology, but terminology means nothing if it doesn't have the substance behind it. Always, it has been the practice of the church from the Epistle of St. James to anoint the sick who are sick, not only those who are dying. And the practice came into being, which was a very great mistake, that it became known as extreme unction only at the hour of death. And that is not the practice of the early church. Not that we are going to play archaeologists, as Pope Venerable Pius XII complained of, but at the same time, it is the history. This is what tradition really is, the history. Not something that was invented in 1565, nor something that was invented in a Cologne, Switzerland in 1975. Even saints make mistakes. Those saints did too. But these sacraments and this practice of celibacy go back to the early church. And for those who are Pharisees, let them do as they wish. We are not. We are Roman Catholics. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you want more information,